to the Age of Vision radio show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision radio show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear. Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark, again with the Age of Vision radio show. This is Monday. Gosh, I can't believe it. October 5th. It's already October. So normally on Mondays, I read the nuclear alerts, and it's, you know, going over them, it's the usual blah, 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 but there were some of them in here that have just are off the charts, unconscionable. As we are learning more and more every single week, the people that have been running the nuclear industry are just not used to an informed electorate, to a people who are paying attention. And they really are not used. They put stuff up on these, right on the website for people to see. Now, the big question is, what are we going to do about it, right? So last week, before I get to the nuclear alerts, I wanted to share this information with you. Because this is really instrumental for every single person who is concerned about the damage and the harm caused by the nuclear industry. Many people listening to this show live very close to a nuclear power plant themselves or a uranium processing plant. I spoke at length with Donna Gilmore. She runs a website called SanOnofriSafety.org, and it is fabulous. You guys should check it out. I'll be highlighting it more and more as we move on. But Donna suggested that we're not going to fight the nuclear industry and force them to shut down the nuclear power plants. The only thing, in her experience, she was very instrumental in getting San Onofre shut down. Now she's working on the casks, or the caskets. She calls them caskets. Some people call them casks, right? That's where they put the spent nuclear fuel. I just want to share this information. I was shocked off of my socks as we talked about it. As it turns out that the United States, once again, the cheapest, most disregarding country on the planet, who run our government and run our agencies, the spent fuel waste that is used in the United States and stored, it is stored in containers that are only a half an inch thick, and they crack. After 20 years, they start cracking. They're supposed to last 100 years. Now, in Europe and in most rational, sane countries that, well, I don't know if it's sane to even use nuclear power, but in Europe, where they have plenty of nuclear power plants, they store their waste in 18-inch thick containers. The containers are we store ours in a half an inch thick container. Theirs is stored in 18 inches, and then they build a building over it to contain it. So it's 18 inches plus a concrete building over it. The United States, we put our waste in a half an inch thick caskets that we know will not last more than 100 years, and leave it right out in the open, which is why last week we were all shocked to death about that story about 1981 when there was nuclear radioactivity all over the place. So her suggestion was make sure you get to know the issues about your own nuclear power plant, the one nearest you, because the employees of that nuclear power plant are just doing their job. They're going to work every day, and they're putting in reports of all the stuff that needs to be fixed. And her suggestion was scour the NRC website, and I can go through this. I'm hoping that maybe on Friday I'll have some time to talk to you about this. But she showed me how to use the NRC website to pull up the issues, the reports that the employees actually turn in, and then start demanding of your local utility board and of that nuclear power plant that they fix it. So then it gets on the table, and so because they're so incompetent, most things don't happen on time. And so, you know, it always causes a delay, a delay, a delay. She said the best way that we can really fight these people is with their own rules and regulations, because they have to start all over if they don't hit deadlines. This is my interpretation of our conversation anyways. Let me put it this way. I'm kind of excited. I'm going to see how it works here with the Columbia Generating Station. I've got some homework to do this week to find out about this. So basically what you do is you pressure the NRC to fix these problems at your nuclear power plant. And because they're incompetent and they're always trying to find the cheapest way to do it, and they continue to put it on delay, it's going to end up costing them so much money, they're going to decide that it's really not beneficial for them to really keep that nuclear power plant open. The primary thing that they're concerned about, and the only thing that they're concerned about, is money. Money is the only thing that they're concerned about. They don't care at all about human life, about the environment. All they care about is money. And anybody within their organization who has any other ideas other than that are summarily ignored and basically punished. They're not able, they're fired, terminated, and they're not able to get a job in the industry. So this is why the likes of Chris Busby, all of them, I guess, you know, Arne Gunderson, Helen Caldicott, they tiptoe around this issue. One of the things when I first got into this that I liked about Kevin, and he was like, fuck these people. Like, really? No, we're going to demand action and really be very forceful about it. And the reality is like a 2-year-old crying, screaming brat, we can piss and moan all we want, but guess what? The people with the power are not going to respond. So we need to figure out a way to make them respond, and this is a way to make them respond. Use their own rules, use their own determinations, use their own protocol against them, because they have to stick to the protocol if they want to get the funding. So it's a really big idea that I'm going to explore. She's been quite successful at it. I would suggest that you do go to her website, which is salmonnofreesafety.org. It's really fabulous, to be honest. It is really a site that has many drop-down menus, and she's worked hard to put a bunch of, she's picked up EPA data and the NRC data, because she doesn't want anybody saying, well, you're making up your numbers. So she's using their numbers. And if you look at the charts that she's pulled together, it's unconscionable that they're not even shutting down the industry based on their information. But they're not going to shut down the industry. They don't care who they kill, because the money is still rolling in from the DOE. And that is just the way it's going to be. So today is the 5th of October, and we have these nuclear alerts. And once again, they are completely unconscionable. Here, let me get right into them, you guys. We have several on Monday, October 5th. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 on October 5th. The event date was 9/19, which tells me we might have already heard about this one, but maybe not. You never know. Prescribed dosage. Brachytherapy patient received 54% of prescribed dose. So somebody undergave them. And then the a retraction from Mark Pena. Upon investigation surrounding the event, it was determined that the patient received 80% of the prescribed activity. So this is an interesting thing. I honestly don't have time to research this, but I'm curious as to why this is an event. For an underreported event of nuclear therapy. The patient was implanted with 72 seeds, 0.269 millicuries each, which some of which were inadvertently implanted in the scar tissue. Inadvertently. I don't know how anybody would even be willing to let any doctor put nuclear stuff in their body. The authorized physician expects no adverse effects on the patient and does not intend to repeat the treatment. Yeah, because the patient will die. Death by Medicine, folks, that's a really great book. If you can get a hold of it, you have the time to read it. I read it probably, I don't know, 7, 8 years ago. Awesome book. It's called Death by Medicine. And it basically outlines how in the United States we have about 1 million people who are killed by physicians in hospital and just gross medical negligence. Oh, here we go again. Ohio Radiation Protection. Licensee is ODH Public Health Lead Investigation Program. Stolen general license material. Let's see. And it says that it's less than a Cat 3 level radioactive material. So I guess it's not that bad. They're going to tell us that don't worry, you're not, nothing will happen. Sometime between 23:30 EDT on 9:22 and 4:30 EDT 9:23, so that means the middle of the night, a vehicle maintained by a staff member at the ODH, Ohio Department of Health, was broken into at their residence in Chocolith, Ohio. I think I messed that name up. Chillicothe. A Niton X-ray fluorescence lead-based analyzer containing a cadmium 109 radioactive source with a maximum activity of 50 millicuries was stolen. The XRF device was in a locked Pelican case and a locked trunk on the vehicle. So whenever these things get stolen, it makes me believe that somebody knew what was in there. Because why would somebody just break into a locked thing inside of a locked thing? There's an awful lot of stolen equipment from the NRC, if you ask me. Uh-oh, this one is actually really bad, you guys. Fort Calhoun in Nebraska. This is actually really bad. Unusual event, declared emergency. When did this happen? 10-2 time. Listen to this. Notification of an unusual event at 9:05 CDT on 10-2. Fort Calhoun Station declared a notification of unusual event on the criteria of a site security plan. So what does that mean? That means nothing. The licensee notified state and local officials and the NRC inspector. There is something going on there. At 11:36, the unusual event was terminated based on the fact that the criteria for entry into the site security plan no longer exists. I have no idea what that sentence meant. The unusual event was terminated. That part we understand based on the fact that the criteria for entry into the site security plan no longer exists. So I'm actually, that's something that I'm going to actually write the NRC and ask them, what the heck does that mean? This whole thing doesn't tell us. It's an unusual event. It's an emergency declared, and they're not telling us jack shit about anything that happened. Fort Calhoun Station in Nebraska. Anybody in that area really needs to contact them and find out what the heck went on the 2nd of October. That was Friday, guys. Fermi power nuclear power plant in Michigan. Fermi unanalyzed condition. Loose safety valve discharge. Flange bolts on October 2nd at approximately 8:25 EDT. Maintenance technicians were performing as found torque checks on the discharge of the B safety valve, safety relief valve. 12 of the 16 bolts were not adequately torqued. 12 of the 16. The B safety relief valve is credited for remote shutdown. The as found condition of inadequate torque potentially impacts the seismic qualification of the B safety relief valve. An investigation and extensive condition review is ongoing. The NRC resident inspector has been notified. Wow. Before the outage, there were no abnormal indications of leakage, as indicated by a drywall temperature or pressure. Wow. The four bolts that were tight were in a diagonal pattern. The loose bolts were described as finger tight. That means they just tightened them with their hands. Oh my God. It's almost like these people working at the nuclear power plants want to just fuck us over even more because I guess they figure since they're going to die young, we ought to go with them. Wow. Comanche Peak, Texas, event number 51444. Oh, so let me go back to you guys. Hold on. I'm going to go back to this one in Nebraska and I'm going to give you that event number. So this is the one in Fort Calhoun, Nebraska. This really bugs me. Event number 51439. Initial power 100 unit 1. I'm going to read you all the details because they didn't tell us anything. Unit 1, scram code N, XR criteria is Y. Initial power 100. Initial RX mode, power operation, current power 100. So this is that one with the unusual event where they're basically telling us nothing. We have nothing at that Fort Calhoun plant. So that number at Fort Calhoun, if I were you guys, if I lived out that way, I'd 51439. So I'm going to scroll back ahead. We're at Comanche Peak, Texas, event number 51444. During the scheduled shutdown, Unit 2 power shut down to start SRF15 steam generator 3 control valve. I beg your pardon, steam generator 3 feed control valve failed in control in automatic or manual, resulting in excessive feed water flow. Wow. Control room operators manually tripped the reactor and aligned auxiliary feed water. No automatic RPS or ESF actuations occur. Plant conditions are stable. That makes us feel good. All control rods fully inserted on the trip and no safety or relief valves lifted. The plant is supplying water to the steam generators with auxiliary feed water and removed decaying heat through the main condenser. The unit is in normal shutdown electrical lineup. There was no effect on unit 1. These people, the way they underreport these catastrophic events is just, they're just so used to everything fucking up. It's unbelievable. Okay, Oyster Creek, New Jersey, event number 415, excuse me, 51445. Oh, somebody got busted for being drunk on the job. Non-licensed supervisor employee had a confirmed positive for alcohol during a cause for fitness duty test. The employee's access to the plant has been restricted. He got busted for being drunk on the job. That's what they get for going on the job drunk. I guess they get rewarded for as much negligence as they can. University of Vermont Medical Center, event number 51418. Prescribed dose. Let's see, what is this? It's another underreporting during Cyrosphere administration. This is a really long event. It really talks about, I guess I could read it, but it's affecting one human being. Based on the reanalysis of the data, and they always come back and say this, and with concurrence of USNRC Region 1 DNMS Inspector Nugent, it was determined that the patient received between 82 and 90% of the prescribed dose. Based on this information, this event no longer meets the reporting criteria and is being retracted by the licensee. So I guess when it, I've noticed this kind of a pattern. Whenever there's an underreporting or an overreporting of nuclear medicine, they always come back in and say, "Oh, don't worry, we did it right." They just sweep it under the carpet, and who knows what's going to happen to the patient, but it doesn't matter because they're getting paid. So we're at event 51419, Tennessee Division of Rad Health Professional Services Industry. This is considered a non-emergency. Oh, another one, damaged moisture gauge. So let's see what happened. Yeah, again, they ran over it. On September 21st, A moisture gauge belonging to professional services industry was run over at the Memphis International Airport. So it was run over at the airport, but no contamination was reported by the licensee. The rods were still attached and the shutter was in the closed position. Thank God. The gauge was a Troxler model 3430 serial number 31540 containing 8 millicuries of cesium-137 in a sealed source and 40 millicuries of americium-241 source in the base of the gauge. Wow, the licensee is making arrangements for the manufacturer to pick and ship the device. So, okay, next alert, and this is all on, what was this date? This was last Friday. Virginia Rad Health Programs, Whiteman, Reckart and Associates. This is also considered a non-emergency alert. This material contains less than category 3 level of radiation. Lost portable moisture density gauge, another density gauge that was lost. And this is, if you recall, this is the follow-up on that where they reported this on September 22nd. They received a call stating that one of their gauges was lost in shipment. Remember that? We read about that. So this is an update from this. On September 24th, it was discovered that the portable gauge was delivered to another Virginia licensee who had also been sent a portable gauge to the NETS for service. The gauge was returned to common carrier who is shipping it back to NETS for to inspect. So all is not lost. The gauge is sent up to the wrong place. Whew. That still doesn't fix what's going on in Fort Calhoun. Byron facility, nuclear power plant, the Byron facility in Illinois. Accident mitigation. It's a non-emergency. Mode change with turbine trip leads lifted. At 9:06, it was determined that Unit 1 was in a condition that could have prevented fulfillment of the turbine trip safety function and the tech specification 3.0.3 was entered. Leads have been lifted to disable the turbine trip function with both solid state protection system trains, while Unit 1 trains of the turbine trip function are required to be operable at turbine station 3.3.2. The turbine was subsequently tripped at 9:32 EDT and the leads were re-landed, enabling the turbine trip function at 9:46 was subsequently exited. So this is actually speaking to the fact that this thing didn't work for a few minutes. I guess that was what, 9:46 to 9:06. That's 45 minutes where the if anything would have happened, I guess we'd have been super screwed. And that is at the Byron reactor in Illinois. You know, this is one of the things that Donna Gilmore talked to me about. All of these facilities, all they not only have they been done on the cheap, but they've all got really old equipment and it's all kind of falling apart. And they basically are just going to ignore it. They have made a determination that they're going to ignore the potential harm because it's going to cost money. They could care less about human safety or even the environmental catastrophe. Destroying the Pacific Ocean is not a priority for the NRC or the International Atomic Energy Agency. So here I'm on October 1st, and we have that report of the underreporting. And let's see what else. Oh, we have this from ExxonMobil Oil Corporation, Torrance, California, right down the street from where I used to live. I used to live in Redondo Beach for a good long portion of my life. I lived in Redondo Beach, California, right down the street from ExxonMobil, which is a disgusting facility, to be honest. Let's see, I think we probably read this one. Damaged source housing. So this is an update from September 21. They contacted the LA Radiation Management regarding the malfunction of one of their two sources in the vessels found during routine maintenance. At least they're doing their job. And let's see. So we have an update. The shutter was stuck in the open position and was used during its normal operation position. Using the Lidlum Model 344-6 Beta Gamma probe, the background radiation was measured at approximately 0.02 millirems per hour, and the dose at 1 meter in areas outside the vessel that could be occupied is approximately 0.06 millirads per hour. The dose rate obtained in the path of the beam after passing through two vessel walls is approximately 0.6 millirads per hour. The vessel walls are 1 inch thick steel, and the vessel diameter is approximately 8 feet. Huh. So, this is the interesting thing. Donna and I were talking about this, how we all have to kind of become nuclear experts because they are not going to make it simple for us to understand, and they are not going to notify us when our lives are being endangered, and they are not going to do anything that will cost them extra money. It really is a crime against humanity. So it's 8:26. Let me keep pressing on. We've only on October 2nd. St. Thomas More Hospital and Progressive Care, unplanned contamination event. And this is considered non-emergency. So let's see. Oh, yeah, we had already read this on September 22nd. Notable multiple errors with contamination. Upon inspection, the inspectors learned a patient early in the day was undergoing diagnostic tests. For a lung scan, the patient began coughing and pulled the mask off during administration and coughed, spreading the contamination in the diagnostic area. And moving down, we can all know exactly what they're going to say. That there was no contamination. The facility was notified, and nuclear medicine technologists surveyed the helicopter and the patient upon arrival with no contamination found. Of course. Speaking of no contamination found, I am getting nowhere trying to figure out who that guy was at Enid, Oklahoma, at the University of Oklahoma in Enid, who got diagnosed with overexposure to mold. So I guess they really don't want us to know about any of that. So here we are. This event has been retracted. University of Vermont Medical Center non-emergency prescribed dose. This happened on September 22nd. Again, the guy received his dose, so we don't have to worry about it. Event number 51419, Professional Services Industries, Tennessee Division of Rad Health. Another non-emergency. Damaged moisture gauge. So all these moisture gauges get damaged. Let's see, how did this one, same thing, run over? This one was run over. These are a follow-up from the last one, the lost portable gauge. Lots of lost gauges, folks. It's completely unconscionable. So let's go to September 30th. None of them are the same events. From Areva, NP Inc., uranium fuel fabrication. So I guess this is a processing plant. Offsite notification, news release. Potential contaminated employee transported offsite for medical assistance. While troubleshooting process equipment in the ceramic area, an instrument technician got his right thumb caught between two pieces of equipment. We read this last week and severed the nail and part of his thumb. That was pretty really disgusting. Well, let's see. Are they going to give us an update other than he's perfectly fine? No, it's the same event. So they reposted it. I guess this is kind of a tactic of the NRC. They just keep reposting the same thing week after week. And why do they do that? I don't know why they do that. Update. I don't see why they updated it on this date, but they did. They included it. There's no reason, but they did do it. Okay, so let's get to the next event. 51416, ExxonMobil Oil Corporation. Once again, damaged source housing. Oh my gosh. September 21, ExxonMobil contacted Los Angeles County Radiation Management regarding the equipment malfunction of two of its source vessels. We read about that. Now, what does this say on 9/23? The shutter was stuck in the open position as used during the normal operation. The vessel walls are 1 inch thick and the steel diameters are approximately 8 feet thick. Huh. So again, no worries, no contamination. The service company has been contacted and a repair or replacement will be soon as possible. You guys do realize that every single one of these nuclear alerts are really kind of a little warning light that we are all in danger. Although I think it doesn't really matter when it really gets down to it, folks, because we've got 6 million people in the United States who are drinking 89 times the maximum contamination level of uranium in their drinking water in Nebraska. If you looked at that map on the businessinsider.com, all you have to do is Google nuclear, uranium, 6 million people, and it'll pop up. There's a story by insider.com. It shows a little map. And it really does bring home the fact that they are just holding their fingers, crossing their fingers, hoping that really all these people will die before the connection is made that they're getting cancer, that they're sterile, that they're having autistic children, that they have excessive amounts of diabetes before people realize it is caused from nuclear pollution. It is an unconscionable act. As John Goffman said in his book, Poison Power, the nuclear industry is probably man's most immoral act. This is the most immoral industry I have ever seen in my life. This is a complete disregard for life and safety, completely. It's really unconscionable. And it is frankly the reason that I'm up 3 times a week on the radio. And we need to search for solutions. We have two more days, two more notices to do. Let me keep going. Wow. Susquehanna Nuclear Power Plant in Pennsylvania. Event report 51432. The event notification 929 at 10:30 EDT. Potential uncontrolled radiation release. So that was 9:29. That was on Tuesday. Last Tuesday, folks, this is what happened to you if you were Susquehanna, Pennsylvania. On 9:29 at 10:20 EDT, the B train of standby gas treatment system was declared inoperable for planned testing. On 9:29:15 at 10:30 EDT, during performance of a surveillance of Unit 1 reactor pressure vessel water level instrumentation, one channel was found to not meet acceptance criteria. The failed level channel is part of the initiation logic for the A train of standby gas treatment. This resulted in a loss of safety function for the standby gas treatment system. On 9:29:15, the B train of standby gas treatment was restored to operable by restoring from the planned testing. This event is being reported under CFR 50.72, blah, blah, blah. So that sounds totally horrible. So this is Susquehanna, Pennsylvania. Anybody in that neck of the woods, let me give you that event number. 51432. It happened on 9:29. That's last Tuesday. And it is considered a potential uncontrollable radiation release. You guys ought to be looking that up if you live near there. Try to figure out what happened. This sounds like something wasn't working and they're like, oh yeah, well, we'll just turn on the backup. But it's the complete disregard. This is as little information as they could possibly give us. The NRC resident inspector has been informed. Wow. The cavalier attitude of these reports is just blowing me away, folks. I cannot believe it. So let's go to the next one. This is on September 29th. I guess I was reporting for October 1st. This is September 29th. Event number 51407. I'm going backwards. Texas Department of State Health Services, Team Industrial Services Inc. Oh man, radiography camera source disconnect. Another, they messed it up. No member of the general public received an exposure due to this event. So that means that no individual received an overexposure as a result of this event. So, wow. You know, this is hard for me to read week after week. This was a great idea when I first came up with it, but honestly, it's really hard for me not to get angry. Like, to not just be spitting nails over just the cavalier attitude over this. Okay, so this is what happened on September 18th. Bugs. They had a device fell from a distance of 30 feet and hit the floor of the vessel. So something got pushed off and the device fell open. The radiographers noted the guide tube had a small kink in it and replaced the guide tube. Don't worry, no one's been hurt. We have a bunch of incompetent staff, but nobody's getting hurt. I don't know. You know, I guess some people didn't mind working for the monsters. You could get a job working for the nuclear industry. NOF installation, and this is event number 51408. This is considered a lost or stolen LNM greater than 10 times. I have no idea what that means, but we'll see. Lost gas chromatograph source. Chromatograph source. When requested by the NRC, the licensee was unable to locate a 15 millicurie nitrate. I remember reading this. Nitrate 63 source. The source was used in a Perkin-Elmer gas chromatograph electron capture detector. So the licensee notified that the device may have been decommissioned, but a fire at their facility effectively destroyed all records that could have been used to locate the source. And that is where NOF installation in Indiana. So they had a fire that prevented them from finding what happened to something that went missing. I guess that's reasonable. In Texas, event number 51413, JV Industrial Industries Limited, non-emergency, unable to retract radiography source to shielded position. This was on September 19th, and we read this one before. So let's see, this is the interesting thing. This is September 29th, and they include it again. Why did they include it again? I have no idea. Clinton Power Reactor in Illinois. This is, oh my gosh, lost COMM slash ASMT response. So I guess what we're going to have to figure out, read this thing to see what the acronym actually really means. This happened on 9/28, and that was last Monday. At 14:44 CDT on September 28th, the station's seismic instrumentation generated a seismic event alarm that was determined to be invalid based on no seismic activity being felt on site and no activity detected in the area by either the National Earthquake Information or by nearby nuclear plants. The instrumentation that actuated recorded steady valves of negative 0.3 to negative 0.4 grams on three axes of one instrumentation, which is greater than the plus or minus 0.02 grams threshold in the emergency action level in the station's emergency procedures. However, no other instrument channel or axis indicated a valid event exceeding a 0.02 threshold. Since the alarm event was determined to be invalid as described above, no EAL thresholds were met. The seismic instrumentation was declared non-functional since it would not generate a seismic event alarm during an actual event until the invalid event was reset. The alarm was reset through the alarm reset process. The seismic instrumentation alarm capability was restored and returned to the service at 14:17:46. Wow. So they have inadequate earthquake. I don't know if they even have earthquakes in Illinois. But you know what? We have fracking, so we definitely need to be paying attention because that does cause earthquakes. So here we are again at another nuclear power plant, Prairie Island, Minnesota, non-emergency accident mitigation. When did this happen? 8:28 at 13:27. At approximately 13:27 on September 28th, both D1 and D2 diesel generators were inoperable simultaneously until corrected at 13:45. So I guess it took them 20 minutes. The D2 generator had been declared inoperable for planned performance. The D2 diesel generator 6-month fast start test. Huh. Tech spec LCO 3.8.1 condition B had been entered for D2 diesel generator. Subsequently, D1 diesel generator was determined to be inoperable but available due to train A cooling water header being inoperable post maintenance testing. You know, when we read through all of this, what are they trying to tell us? With both emergency diesel generators inoperable, this condition is reportable under 10 CFR 50.72B3VD, event or condition that could have prevented fulfillment of a safety function. The plant remains safe and this condition does not pose any additional risk. Don't worry, the cooling generators, they didn't work for a few minutes, but we're still safe. I think that's the bottom line, right? Man, this makes me angry. They're just cavalier attitude. The safety significance of this event is low, as engineering hydraulic analysis has demonstrated that the safeguards traveling screen backwash water supply valve fully opened, the cooling water system would have continued to provide full cooling flow to D1 diesel generator. Wow, I feel better, don't you? That is unbelievable. Wow. Okay, here we are, Hope Creek, New Jersey. And I, you know, my prayer goes out to all the people on the East Coast because you guys are about to get slammed. And let's hope to God all of the nuclear reactors over there can sustain the battery of Mother Nature. So this again, this is not a repeat event, 51430 on 9/28/2015. RPS actuation is critical. I beg your pardon. Automatic reactor scram following trip of both reactor recirculation pumps. On September 28, 2015, at 2046 EDT, the Hope Creek reactor scrammed following a trip of both reactor recirculation pumps. All control rods fully inserted into the core. All safety systems responded as designed and expected. There was no radiological release. The unit is stable in mode 3 with decay heat being removed via the turbine bypass valves, rejecting steam in the main condenser. Normal feed water level control is providing makeup to the reactor vessel. No personnel injuries resulted from the event. The out-of-control center has been staffed to be determined. Excuse me, I'm going to read that again. The out-of-control center has been staffed to determine the cause of the reactor scram. The Hope Creek NRC resident inspector has been notified. Wow. So these reactors in New Jersey are really, I don't know who runs those ones, but man, that is the name of it, Hope Creek. I hope some people, Hope at Hope Creek, I hope some people actually out there will get actively engaged. We need little enclaves, every little nuclear power plants. If you just have like 3 or 4 or 5 people at every single nuclear power facility, we will actually be able to get through this and we can put pressure on them at each nuclear power plant. This is how we're going to do it, folks. We're not going to do it by protesting, contacting our elected officials. While we do need to contact our elected officials and continue to put the pressure on them, what we really need to do is find out what is going on in our own little neck of the woods, form some allies, and create ways to put pressure on the NRC and put pressure on the utility boards to close these facilities down. Because we are hanging by a thread, as we can see, and the information that the NRC gives us quite frankly, is minimal. They give us barely enough information to understand exactly what it is that we're doing, you know, and we will not be notified. They are not going to tell us if anything bad really, really happens. Now, this kind of goes back into the whole idea of how they're regulating it. You know, we have woken up to the idea. There are people, like I said at the top of this show, the NRC and the energy industry in general, they're just not used to an informed electorate. They are not used to most people. They have been working super hard, spending billions of dollars to get us to not pay attention to what the harm that they're causing our planet. You know, the downside is you can't harm the planet, and people are going to pay attention when you start shitting in their own backyard. I mean, I think that's exactly what woke all of us up on this deal. When Fukushima happened, I know for myself, I actually thought it was handled. And then when I realized it wasn't, oh my God. I mean, I guess I was super naive. I really did believe that the government was really going to take care of, make sure that the contamination and everything was being taken care of. Little did I know in 2012 that the Nuclear Regulatory Commission is just a rubber stamp for the Earth murderers. They really have no regard for life on this planet. The EPA drops the water pollution rules. Did you see that story? That was on the Hill this morning. I could not believe it. This story was actually written on 9:30. The Environmental Protection Agency is moving forward with new rules to reduce water pollution around the country. They're going to do new rules. These cost-effective, achievable limits will provide significant protections for our children. Are they going to be taking out radiation? I don't think so. The agency will be reissuing new rules for oil refineries and is expected to release ozone restrictions on Thursday. So they're talking about the ozone restrictions, but they are not talking at all about the nuclear power plants. Currently, power plants pollute about 23,600 miles of rivers and streams each year with 79,200 pounds of arsenic, 65,000 pounds of lead, and 3,000 pounds of mercury, according to the EPA. The pollution rules will go into effect in 60 days. Wow. So let me repeat that little bit of a tidbit that gets whoosh, lost in yesterday's news, folks. Currently, power plants pollute about 23,600 miles of rivers and streams each year. Each year. With 79,200 pounds of arsenic, 65,000 pounds of lead, and 3,000 pounds of mercury. Now, you know, as much as I like electricity, I personally would rather have clean rivers and streams. And I'd rather be using candles. I mean, this is an outrage. We're being fed that we have to have electricity nonstop all the time here, while we're polluting our country and our planet. I don't know how many of you out there have ever lived without electricity. I have. It's actually not that difficult. It was a shock to my system because I'm a spoiled American. I expected to get up and turn on the light, or, you know, the hardest part was really the water. I had to carry my water a quarter of a mile to where I was living. And frankly, when you have to carry your water, you know, you go down and you get two buckets full of water and you have to carry them a quarter of a mile to where you're living. And you have to maintain them and keep the bugs out. And then you have to wash your dishes and do all the stuff that you do. You really, really, really begin to appreciate water to being delivered to your house. And you really begin to appreciate hot water. Like, for goodness sakes, if you've never lived without water for more than a week or 2 weeks, like we do when we go camping, try living without hot water running into your house for 6 months. After that happens, you will always appreciate a hot shower. At least I still do. I'll be honest, I still do. So we are now faced with trying to navigate through the whole pile of lies that is killing our planet. One of the things that Donna Gilmore was really pounding home was that we are not going to beat them with logic. We are not. It's all, the whole social engineering thing is everybody working inside that industry is completely freaked out about their inability to get another job if they ever speak out. So people keep their trap shuts for way too long. You know, now that we have a few extra minutes, you guys, I thought I'd read from you this chapter about radiation and how it works. Many of you know that I'm reading Poison Power on my YouTube channel. It's kind of a slow read just because I'm right in the middle of tax season, so I am super busy, so I'm reading it slower than I will after the 15th of October. But the other night I read this, and it was really a fascinating explanation of the contamination when we talk about stop eating fish. Let me explain this to you. Potassium is a prominent, and this comes directly from the book Poison Power, and I quote, "Potassium is a prominent vital constituent of the interior of every living human cell. Fish living in fresh water, where the concentration of potassium is very low, may be forced to concentrate the potassium a thousandfold in order to maintain the concentration necessary to sustain life. Because cesium is chemically quite similar to potassium, the same mechanism also concentrates cesium from such a freshwater source approximately 1,000 times. If the cesium in the fresh water happens to be radioactive cesium-137 from a nuclear power plant or other source, then the fish will contain 1,000 times more cesium-137 than the fresh water itself on a weight-for-weight basis. Eating fish from that water would expose one to 1,000 times more cesium-137 radiation on a weight-for-weight basis. So it's really important for us to understand how the nuclear radiation works. And this is why it really does matter what we put into our bodies. Unless you're on a suicide mission and you want to get cancer and die quickly, although that's not a certainty because you'd have to eat a whole lot of fish to actually have it affect you within probably the first year or so. So that's probably not the best way to knock yourself off. But we are coming into, we are actually in the age of fission, folks. We're here. It's not, we're going to have World War III. They have been conducting World War II, I don't believe ever ended. The experimentation on humans, the useless feeders on the undesirables has continued. The only differentiation is we're all now categorized as those undesirables. So how do we get through it is, according to Donna Gilmore, is we beat them at their own game. We pay attention. We get ourselves an education. Find out the information. Get a basic grasp of this science so that we can actually talk to them. Read the journals. Read the articles. It is a daunting task, but really, there are so few people paying attention to the harm that nuclear pollution is causing us. Again, part of the social engineering, which is why I always go back to that. It's kind of like the chemtrails. How is it that the chemtrails and nuclear radiation are the two things that when you talk to people about it, they go, oh, that's a conspiracy theory. That's not real. The EPA says that there's very little radiation in our food. Well, actually, if you go, I was dumbfounded. I did not know this. I mean, I guess it's because I'm kind of what I consider a baby activist. I didn't get into this to become an activist. I got into this out of a sense of duty to my children and a duty to our planet. Once I discovered how catastrophic Fukushima was, I could not just go back to sleep and go back to business as usual and ignore it. I really have been felt compelled from the second I realized what a catastrophe it was to really demand accountability and stop the harm that it's causing. So that's kind of what we all need to do. We all have to get ourselves up to speed. And there are many, many resources and different people that you can listen to. But frankly, I would suggest that it doesn't even matter who you listen to. Check their resources, check what they're saying out, and really read the documentation for yourself. Because We need little enclaves of activists in every community. It is not an accident that the nuclear problems are being understated and ignored by the media. It's not an accident that the chemtrails that are putting probably what is that, aluminum all over the planet. I mean, these are things that are happening intentionally and on purpose to us. And there are things that, we can't control, but what we can control is our actions and how we get actively engaged. Really, since September, I've really made a commitment that I'm going to figure out a way for us to shut down the Columbia Generating Station before we have that 9.0 earthquake that all the scientists are saying is due here within the next 50 years. And this is, the other part of this is the social engineering of an industry that is putting nuclear contamination into half an inch thick containers that they know will not last 100 years. What does that tell the future, our children, that this culture cares nothing for them? We are putting them in containers that are cracking in 20 years. If you let the crack get so big, just like in Hanford, you let the crack get so big, you can't fix it, folks. You can't even touch it. That's what's going on in Hanford, is they're not able to touch anything. So I kind of feel compelled to read another Lao Tzu poem before we end, because we only have a few minutes left. But I am going to read a quick little poem, number 7, by Lao Tzu once again, to give us some inspiration. I quote, "The universe is deathless. Is deathless because, having no finite self, it stays infinite. A sound man, by not advancing himself, stays further ahead of himself. By not confining himself to himself, sustains himself outside himself. But never being an end in himself, he endlessly becomes himself." And that is frankly what we need to do, folks. We need to become ourselves. We need to act on what we believe. I mean, we need to really have the courage to take action. On Google Plus, I posted a really great tapping video by Brad Yates, who's a tapping teacher I follow on YouTube. It's called "Stop Yourself from Stopping Yourself." It's a tapping video because many of us have really good ideas, and then we're like, "Oh, I don't think I should do that because it's stupid," or "I don't think it's going to take too much money," or "I don't have the resources." Well, I would strongly suggest that all of us take action. It's going to take masses and masses of people to actively get engaged. So I really encourage people to break through the chattel of us not being able to move forward, that of paralyzing ourselves. And there's some really great teachers, emotional freedom technique teachers, that help us break through those blocks. Brad Yates is one of them, very accessible on YouTube. You just type in EFT Brad Yates and you'll see a bunch of them. On Wednesday, we are going to have an interview with Road Dog. He was a caller who called in here about a week ago. He made a comment before he hung up that really intrigued me, so I got in touch with him. And as it turns out, he is really a fascinating human being. He's studying health and nutrition, and he's going to be on Wednesday talking about food and things we need to not contaminate our bodies with. That's the way we're going to fight off and stave off the radiation, folks. Thank you for listening today, and we will talk to you guys on Wednesday. Keep your courage feet on. So.